Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Relationship Marketing 101. Directions University at directionsu.com delivers passion-powered results for your life and business so that you can live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome everyone to another episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, the Dean and Founder of Directions U, Gina Gaudio Graves, calling you live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. I have got my good friend and co-host, Rhonda Del Baccio, the story lady from ProfitableStorytelling.com, calling in from the Ozarks today, and we have got a great show for you. Hello, Miss Rhonda.
Well, hello. Yes, we do have a great show, and it's a beautiful day in the Ozarks and a great day to build business through the power of relationships, right?
That it is.
Always a good day for that.
I just want to give you one little word of warning today. My phone keeps turning itself off, so if I all of a sudden disappear, I promise I will be back in about 2.5 minutes.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. I'm sorry your phone is misbehaving. That's not very nice of it, is it?
I know. It's done it 4 times. It's going to make for a very long day.
I should absolutely say so. And what is up with this phone? It was doing that last week, too, a couple of times.
No, last week it was just disconnecting the call, not turning the whole thing off. And
now it's turning
the whole thing off. And it takes 2.5 minutes to reboot the whole darn cycle.
Well, that's not nice of it. Well, anyway, we will hope we will have a positive vibe for good communications, good vibrations, and all the technology behaving itself.
I love that. I've got a level 3 tech support call-in for T-Mobile, so hopefully somebody can tell me how to fix it.
Well, I hope so. That's great, because I know you have an awesome phone. It should be behaving very, very well. You've got a...
It really should.
Yeah. Does your phone have that genius button on it that you can talk to it?
It does.
How cool is that?
I absolutely love it.
I'll bet you do. Yeah, that is very cool with the HTCs. It's kind of, for those who don't know, it's kind of like Siri for the Android. Talk to it.
Yeah, really. It's really awesome.
Yeah. I'm thinking, I'm looking at a couple of phones for my next upgrade. Oh, hello, Fritz. Well, anyway, we do have a great show for you today, and we've got certainly some great guests coming in the next few weeks, and trying to get some of our folks from Speaker Summit. They're busy people, so it's getting unique trying to get them scheduled, but we're getting there. So anyway.
Well, it sounds like I'm going to have to go outside, or we're going to have to listen to Fritz bark. They're only option.
Oh, my God. Well,
nope.
Today we're going to have sales conversion. Oh, don't you love having a shrill bark dog?
I do. We have a neighbor that's here maybe 8 days a year, tops, and they happen to be here today. And when they're here, Fritz is just not used to them because they're only here for like 1-2 days, then they leave. Then they're back for 1 or 2 days, and then they leave.
Mm-hmm.
So Fritz just has a field day every time they go in and out of their house.
Oh, my goodness. You think you'd get used to it and get over it. Oh, well. I guess it's just kind of like people, you know. Sometimes even though you think someone would be used to it, they just keep fussing about the same thing over and over, don't they?
Yeah, no, they really do.
See, there's storytelling ideas everywhere, and they come right from your everyday life and things that happen, even the barking dog.
You know, I can't remember the last day that I had where I didn't have some sort of story that came out of it that related to business, even though it has nothing to do with business when I have the experience. Isn't that awesome, Rhonda?
Yeah, it really, and I appreciate that because I know that for you, storytelling used to be one of those things that you didn't feel that you were good at. It did not come easily or naturally to you. And so it's kind of a big deal, you know, that now you have done it enough, practiced enough, that you are truly seeing what I see all the time. I see stories everywhere.
And, you know, it's a great way to lead into the topic for our show because it's stories that cause conversions to happen. And if you're not telling stories, you're probably not seeing conversions happening very often in your world.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about what makes for sales conversion. What turns a looker, a reader, a listener, a watcher of a video or whatever, or someone who meets you into a buyer? And then we will, in the course of that, absolutely let's talk storytelling because you're right, it is absolutely key, and I have such a good time talking storytelling, of course, being the story lady. It'd be surprising if I didn't, right?
Absolutely. Well, you know, that's a great question to ask. What is it that turns a reader, a watcher, or a listener into a buyer? Rarely are people going to come to your site saying, oh, I got to go find a thing that does this and I got to buy it right now. That's not exactly what happens. How do people arrive at your site? That's the key to figuring out what turns a reader, a watcher, or a listener into a buyer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to start with where they're at in their life. What is it that they stumbled across that caused them to see that one little piece of content that you had? Sometimes they might be going out and doing searches, specifically looking for a solution to a problem. But even when they're doing that, they're usually not even aware what the solution might be. What they know is they have a problem that they don't like it and they want it to go away. So the keywords that they're going to go out searching for are things like how do you get rid of fill in the blank? What allows you to fill in the blank? And it's that fill in the blank. Yeah. It's the fill in the blank that they'll actually search for.
Exactly. As an example, somebody may know that they have itchy feet. It just is something kind of off the wall. And they don't know if the solution is going to be a cream, a pill, manual therapy or massage of some type or whatever. They just know their feet itch and they want to massage.
Or maybe even cutting off their feet.
Well, that's always possible, yeah. So they don't know what the solution is. It could be flying to the moon for all that they know. They don't know what the solution is. They just know my feet itch and I want them to stop itching. And somebody who is going to tackle that hopefully will get to not only why your feet itch, but what's really behind that and is there some bigger cause that can be taken care of. If the person searching for itchy feet, how to stop itchy feet, doesn't know that.
And, you know, that brings them to a series of searches. So they're probably going to start first with something like itchy feet. It doesn't even have stop itchy feet in the search phrase. It's just the problem, itchy feet.
Itchy feet.
Now they go out, they start looking around, and they start seeing in the results, oh, you can stop itchy feet, not just make the itching, like, get a little better, but stop itchy feet. Now they come back to search and they put in stop itchy feet. Now as they start reading the search results that show up, they start seeing some words that make them go, oh, that's what could cause itchy feet. I might have eczema. I might have poison ivy. I might have inflammation. And now they're going to go back and look for those words, eczema, inflammation, etc., and once they see those search results, they might go a little further and say, get rid of eczema, reduce inflammation. There's this whole sequence of things that they go through before they get to a site that then tells them what to do to fix their itchy feet, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they get there, whether they're there because they searched for itchy feet or there because they searched for get rid of eczema really isn't relevant at that point. What will cause them to buy instead of just read or listen or watch? Well, what gets them to actually want to buy whatever it is you have to offer is really truly the stories that you tell and what they see when they get there. If you have something on there that says something to the effect of, itchy feet are really crappy, they're icky, nobody likes to live with them, all you need to do to get rid of itchy feet is get this great ebook. Here you go. Here's the link. You think they're going to buy that ebook for $47 very often, Rhonda?
No, because that's just like, well, yes, itchy feet are ugly, but you haven't taught me anything. I haven't felt the pain enough. I haven't heard a story of someone else who's had success with this enough.
Now, let's assume that the person looking up itchy feet happens to be a guy. And this guy comes to this website, and the website has pink everything.
Oh,
and this website is telling this story about this woman who's got her dream date, and she's all excited because she's going out on her dream date, but she has itchy feet. And the solution is to throw away those old shoes and buy a new pair of shoes. And the new shoes she bought, you can get for yourself right here. Think that guy's going to get those new shoes very often?
Well, they probably don't come in his size, but no. He's definitely not.
And more than likely, he's not even going to read that whole article to realize that she threw out her shoes because the whole site's pink. And
yeah,
he's going, this is awful girly. I'm not even going to bother to figure out what happened because it's not going to apply to me.
How I'm turned off by an all-pink website, and I'm a female, so I just, too girly. Anyway, yeah, he would be too girly. He wouldn't get past the headline because it would be the colors in the headline to turn him off.
Exactly.
And that's actually a good thing because if your solution is not for everybody anyway.
Precisely. So what would turn that guy with itchy feet into a buyer, Rhonda?
Well, a couple of things, and one of them is that whatever he ends up with as his solution, it's going to be from somebody who speaks to him and his problems with a story probably about a guy or several guys and with social proof that's at least primarily for males. He's not going to go to something with pink packaging or pink websites or whatever. He'd be embarrassed to have it on his shelf. Product, but it was in all pink, right? So it's going to be stories about guys, the solution that is for guys. The audience targeted is obviously someone exactly like him because he will feel like, wow, I have found exactly what I want. They're speaking right to me.
And that solution can be so many different things. It should be an info product that really helps him not only overcome his itchy feet, but prevent itchy feet from coming back once the itchiness goes away. It could be a pair of shoes. It could be a cream. It could be any number of different things.
It could be a combination of a product like a cream or a pair of shoes and an ebook or whatever. Here's a great example. I bought a pair of Skechers shoes. And with my Skechers came this little folder. Inside the folder, there was a little information packet. I mean, yeah, there was stuff about the other shoes, but there was also some information about how to get the most from your Skechers, how to warm up before using them, how to use them, how to acclimate to them. And there was also a DVD inside of the packaging along with the shoes. I have never before bought a pair of shoes that came with a DVD.
Oh, that is brilliant.
It is totally brilliant. And since you mentioned, products and info, sometimes people think you either have an info product or you have a physical product, or you try to sell the physical product from the info product. Well, there's no reason necessarily that you couldn't package both.
Well, and here's the reason that's so brilliant. That maybe didn't get you to buy your Skechers in the first place. You didn't even know it was going to come with the DVD and the other information that it came with.
Right.
But now that you got the information and now that you got the DVD, how likely are you going to be to buy another pair of Skechers in the future?
Well, I love the Skechers anyway. I mean, they're a great shoe. They're the most comfortable shoes I own. And so for that main reason, but I thought the DVD was cool, and naturally I did pop it into the player, and I did have the information about them because it is a specific shoe, and it's a little different from a normal shoe because of the way the heel is and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, the DVD was maybe a piece of it. If the shoe had been crappy and there had a DVD, that wouldn't do it. But because it was a great shoe and it had the DVD in it, and all the different styles that they have, yes, I would totally buy another pair. But they last
and not only are you going to be likely to buy another pair, but because of the great information and the great service that you receive, you're likely to tell all your friends about the great experience you had from Skechers, aren't you?
Absolutely. I'm doing it on the radio right now.
There you go.
But it really was. It was absolutely so cool that that was in there. And it had an exercise routine and all kinds of stuff. I mean, it was just amazing. I was like, that is the coolest thing I have ever seen in my life to go with a pair of shoes.
And it opens the door to a whole nother line of products on the back end. Now, instead of using shoes to sell more shoes, the shoes could sell exercise equipment. The shoes could end up selling a weight loss program. The shoes could end up selling healthy lifestyle products. I mean, it literally opens the door to an entire line of products on the back end that will get you to be a customer for life.
That's where they drop the ball. If I were Skechers, what I would do is, and the Skechers are primarily geared for women, and I would team up with something like the Pink Diet, which I don't remember what it's for, but that's definitely geared for women, and I would give people like a $10 off coupon for the Pink Diet inside of the Skechers, because the Pink Diet encourages the working out and stuff as well as the food, and it has a workout DVD with it, and people could wear their Skechers while they're in the Pink. And the Pink program maybe could give a coupon for $10 off some Skechers.
And here's another one, kind of unrelated but really cool tie-in. A guy that I met recently because of one of my relationships is a guy that is what I'd call a multipreneur or a serialpreneur. He doesn't have a successful business. He has several successful businesses, one of which is a product called PCMirror.com. It's a little mirror that sits on your PC. It literally attaches to your monitor. He doesn't sell these things one at a time. He sells these things in bulk to companies who have a brand that they want people to identify with over and over and over again. What if inside of your box of Skechers, you got a PC mirror that could sit on your monitor? Around the edge of it, it has Skechers.com and reminds you to wear your Skechers today.
Absolutely beautiful. I mean, there are so many ways to do it. Under Armour clothing would be another great one to put in.
Absolutely.
While you're working out, you can have that. Or, you know, a cosmetics program or a great book that's written by a woman that has to do with self-esteem and those kinds of things. I mean, there are so many ways to do it.
Or better still, brought to you by and the name of the book, and at the bottom of the mirror, Skechers.com. Now it's a joint venture. The other company allows Skechers to package its mirrors with the Skechers. And it now passes both brands along at the same time.
Right. That's really very cool. Yeah, you end up with three because you've got the PC mirror, the book, and the Skechers, and I think that's great. Really, very cool.
Everything you do on your site, on the front end, the place that's driving your traffic, it's not about selling the first product. It's about positioning that buyer to buy the second product.
Sure.
Keywords like itchy feet are not at all about the itchy feet. They're the words that will bring you that prospect that is most likely to buy your second, third, and fourth product, not that are most likely to buy your first. Itchy feet are just a vehicle for reaching them and getting them to open their wallet once.
Mm-hmm.
That's what causes conversions to happen in a big way long term. Mm-hmm. And it all
right.
starts with that story about the right person. If it's a man, great. If it's a woman, great. But don't try and tell a story to both a man and a woman and get them both to buy from the same article. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's so important. The stories are really key. And I mean, here, for example, here's something I often tell authors who are writing their books. And sometimes when they're starting, they maybe not have as many testimonials or success stories with their system or whatever it is to put into the book. And so I'll tell people, get the initial early version in as many hands as you possibly can and follow up with people and make sure to get their success stories and say that you will feature the coolest success stories in the printed version or the next version of your book. That's a way to get people involved, help them want to be successful, want to give a review because they can have that recognition of being in the next edition. And then it helps the author because what you're doing is you're building stories. And that's really the essential thing. You're building stories of people who are successful with your material, your program, your system, whatever it is.
Love it. Now, let's go and use the same itchy feet example.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you've got everything down. You've got the right keyword that's either stop itchy feet or itchy feet. You've got a story that's really written for the right person. In this case, let's say it's a man. The look
mm-hmm.
of the site really works for a man. When they
yep.
get there to read this great article that has the story about the guy who has the itchy feet, that shares the story of how he overcame his itchy feet, that then offers them a similar solution for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
If down the side of that site there's an opt-in box about get this great free report about losing weight, and now there's a banner ad, and the banner ad is, say, an ad for how to make beer at home, and then
yeah.
there's some recent articles, and the articles are about mowing your lawn and making beer and losing weight and all this other stuff. That piece
and don't
of content
forget,
is... Go ahead.
Don't forget an ad for, like, Omaha Steaks or something.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Now, the site had the right look. The site told the right story. The site had the right call to action. How often is the guy going to buy the solution in the content?
I would say your conversion is likely to be like 0.0001.
Yeah, and how often is he going to buy the Omaha Steak in the sidebar?
Although Omaha Steaks are yummy, it's not a put down of Omaha Steaks, but not likely because it's like, I call it a splattergram. It's just stuff is splattered everywhere. It's like walking into a dollar store. You got your little of this, you got your little of that. You know.
Well, yeah, and his itchy feet are so itchy that he doesn't even have the attention span to notice
right.
the Omaha Steak ad. He yes. has pain, and he wants it to go away now.
It doesn't matter how much he needs a new lawnmower at that point or how much he loves a good porterhouse. He is going to be totally focused on this itchy feet, that my feet are itching me so bad I can't even hardly concentrate, and this guy's trying to sell me steaks. What's up with that? Wouldn't make any sense to them at all.
And he didn't come to the site even to buy the solution to the itchy feet. He came to the site merely to find out if it was possible to get rid of itchy feet, and if so, how. So it's already a distraction to get him to buy the solution in the first place. To then try selling him all these unrelated pieces of crap, whether they're good quality or not, while he's still trying to overcome the pain of his itchy feet, it just
mm-hmm.
doesn't work very well. And he doesn't mm-hmm. feel very well served. He doesn't feel like you really know him, no matter how much your story relates to who he really is.
Right. Yeah, everything should be related to that they're going to see in the sidebar or on your site with as few distractions as possible. You know, I like to think of it this way, is like an infomercial. when you have an infomercial, they don't put sidebar ads for any other little thing. They are completely giving you stories and benefit upon benefit and problems that are solved and whatever with whatever the product is. And that is all they are focused on 100%.
On a radio show probably almost 3 years ago now, we had a great example of a Lush plush toy for your dog that had bought for my little dog. Remember that? Fritz had just come into our lives.
That's what I was thinking about, the indestructible ha-ha-ha dog toy that then had, what was it, 14 upsells, and they were for
13
jewelry.
13 upsells. Yeah. And, you know, they did a really good job on their upsells of selling me all this other stuff that had absolutely nothing at all to do with my dog, to do with the toy, to do with anything. But the way it was done is the way that conversions happen more often than not. The entire 30-minute infomercial sold me on nothing but an indestructible dog toy. That was it.
Right.
Only once they got my money for the indestructible dog toy did I start hearing about the other offers that I could have. If I got one indestructible dog toy, the next offer was for 3 to 6 indestructible dog toys. The next offer was for an even more guaranteed indestructible dog toy.
Which I love. It's like the first one's guaranteed. Now there's an even more guaranteed toy. Well, why And then wasn't there like Toy of the Month Club type of thing in
there? There was. Auto Shippy, indestructible dog toy of the month. And now only once they've exhausted 3 or 4 different opportunities to sell me on dog stuff, do they now start thinking about my psychographic characteristics and what else I might be interested in buying? So once I'm done with all the stuff for the dogs, they know who their audience is. They know that the people calling in from these indestructible dog toys are likely to be women, and that these are likely to be women who have some money because they're not going to spend $20 on an indestructible dog toy if they aren't. So now we start looking at all the other things that they try to sell me as a woman with some money, the last of which is like a $200 piece of jewelry that was really a pretty luscious-sounding offer. There was one for a travel deal where I could get a discount on travel. Again, they really knew who their audience was. When you do it that way, you can sell people loads of different things, one after another, after another, after another. 13 upsells before I got done with my order. 20% of the buyers will buy each and every level. So by the time they get to the $200 piece of jewelry, we're talking about small numbers of sales, but heck, 20% bought the second offer, another 20% the third, another 20% the fourth, all the way down to the end. And by the time they got to the end, it was still selling or they wouldn't have been doing it.
Right. I mean, a person could have gone in to buy a $20 dog toy and ended up spending $1,000 if they took, you know, a number of those upsells.
We added it all together. Wasn't it something like they would have spent over $900 on the first month and then something like $600 a month thereafter? It was huge.
Oh, yeah, I didn't remember that, the numbers, but yes. I remembered it was about $1,000 almost the first time.
It was huge.
Imagine that, you know, if somebody bought everything, and I'm sure there's at least a small percentage who did, that probably for at least 3 months they'll have that $900 the first month, and $600 for at least a couple of months after that before people unsubscribe from everything and get it off their card. So.
But what you didn't see them doing was you didn't see them talking about all 13 products in the infomercial.
Right.
In the infomercial, it was positioning people. It was getting the right people for everything else they had to offer. When I later on saw the infomercial again, I realized that all of the examples that were in the infomercial, the people that were showing how to play with the toy with their dog, they were all upscale women. They were
right.
all dressed very nicely.
Dressed nicely.
Many
with
of them were playing on the beach with their pet, wearing jewelry in an exotic place that they happened to live. It
right.
was all positioning for exactly
right.
what they were going to sell me, one product at a time, when I called in after the infomercial was
right.
over.
Brilliant,
yeah, brilliant, brilliant.
There were several terrier types, too, as I recall. It's been a long time since I've seen it. But I did watch that entire thing because I actually find infomercials fascinating. And I start thinking, what are they really selling? What kind of people? What kind of environment? You know, whatever. So here you have, there were a lot of beaches. There were a lot of terriers. There were a lot of very happy, smiling, nicely dressed women playing with their dog, having a blast, looking like it was somewhere exotic. You don't know where it was exactly, but it was certainly not downtown New York or
yes.
whatever, you know. It was not in a slum. It was not in a studio apartment or, you know, gearing toward the lifestyle.
Exactly. And it is no different when you're putting stuff up on your website. It's all the same thing, whether you're doing your marketing from a website, whether you're doing it on an infomercial, it's all the same marketing principles.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it absolutely is.
You choose what to sell on the front end of your website based on what is likely to bring you the prospects that are most likely to buy all the back-end things that you've got to offer.
Mm-hmm.
In what order you choose to offer each and every one of the things that you have really depends upon what's going to get you the highest lifetime value per customer. How are you going to get this same person to buy over and over and over again. And what order you choose to put things in really does get dictated in part by what will cause people when they're talking about themselves to bring your name up too. Just like in the
right.
Skechers with the DVD and stuff.
Exactly.
Had they tried to sell you that DVD, and along with the DVD, give you a coupon to buy your Skechers, you probably wouldn't have bought that DVD, would you, Rhonda?
No, well, the DVD wouldn't have been useful at all without the Skechers. And that's an important thing to remember, too, is what you're selling people on the front end useful. The DVD was all about consuming the Skechers, basically, how to use them, how to warm. It was not just a generalized, here's how to work out and warm up. It was how to warm up with your Skechers, how to acclimate to your Skechers. So it would have been really irritating to spend money on a DVD and then still have to buy the pair of shoes. Packaging them together was the smart way to do that. And that's the other thing is that when you sell one product, it should never just be an ebook or an audio. And it just bugs me to no end when I see an author or whomever, you know, just selling an ebook. And there's nothing else in there but an ebook. Like you couldn't have put a checklist or something else useful in there or, you know, give some extra value to people so they can feel well served. That is
more importantly. If you look at any physical product, your Skechers, a toothpaste tube, a bar of soap, if someone makes a purchase from you one time and never
yep.
consumes the product you sold them, whether it's a
right.
physical product or an informational product, they
mm-hmm.
are not very likely to go on and buy something else from you later on. When
right.
you're packaging things together, one of them is the thing that they really knew that they wanted. The
right.
best thing to package with it is the things that will get them to consume what they knew they wanted.
Yep.
Or add something that first gets them to consume what they wanted and add something else that then gets them to see how much bigger, better, or faster they could have the results if they bought
right.
something else.
Exactly. Yeah. And that is so important. It is part of conversion that the sale isn't just the sale. The conversion isn't just converting the looky-loo to the buyer. The conversion is really about what Ben Mack talks about in his book, Think Two Products Ahead. It's getting them to come back.
Yeah. And you've got to do that right up front in your blog posts, or it really is hard to get it to happen after they already have the product in their hands.
Mm-hmm.
It's always about the next sales, not the first.
The other thing that's important when you're thinking of the next sale is it does not necessarily have to be something that you yourself create. There is no problem at all in partnering up. So,
yep.
I mean, yes, Skechers sold a Skechers DVD to do the shoes, you know, whatever, but it could have easily been something else. Like we were talking about earlier, adding the pink diet in there with, you know, some information about that and a coupon or whatever. It doesn't only have to be you. It can be through a partnership. So in my author challenge, I have a couple of people that have some really good slick systems. They're very good at what they do, and they're really a good match for my audience. But I'm not just going to throw something of theirs in there without some kind of an introduction. I'm going to make sure that there is a lot of hand-holding where I introduce them to the problems that are going to be solved, and then I introduce them to this fabulous strategic partner and friend who has something who will help them fix it. So just
yeah.
make sure you're not just throwing products at people because that product B and C and D have affiliate programs. Is you really want to select based on the psychographic and demographic of your audience and based on what they are really looking for and based on keeping them coming back to you and not making them spin off and leave you to go to see somebody else.
Exactly.
So
why is this so challenging for people to get when they're first starting out, Rhonda?
I think that a big part of it has to do with a lack of confidence and personal resistance that comes up.
I agree.
I really think the root of it comes to that. In fact, I just got a Skype message from a friend of ours, and he saw the physical copy, the like proof copy of his book, and he said, I think I should do a smaller book size rather than 6x9 because the number of pages looks too thin. And I said, no, don't put it in a smaller book to make it thicker. Actually, thinner is better in the attention economy, and you should be confident in your system because it does work. And that's what matters.
Yeah.
And so I hope that he doesn't be silly and decide to go into a whatever other size just so that it looks meatier, because that will be a weird size that won't mesh with most books are 6x9 anymore. I mean, that's kind of what you see. And unless there's a really good reason to stray from that, I wouldn't do it.
I very much agree with that. Very much agree with that.
Yeah, and his book's 120 pages. I said, you know, mine that I have, a couple of them out, mine tend to be between 120 and 150. I said the value is not in the number of pages. It's in the solution. It's in the story of success. And because I have used his system, I do know for a fact that it works very, very brilliantly. So there's no reason he should not be confident in the system and no reason to worry about the page count. And that's a thing a lot of times people get caught up is that their thing is too small, whatever it is, audio, video, you know, like it's too small, it's too short, it's not like the, as if it was longer or bigger, that meant automatically more value.
Yeah, bigger is not better, guys.
Right.
I mean, keep in mind people like Dr. Brad Semp, a mutual friend of ours. Brad has sold hundreds of different flowcharts for $97 each. It is merely a flowchart. Why is that such a great thing for him to do? Well, people love flowcharts as well as mind maps. They think that's the easy button. Oh, I don't need to weed through a 300-page ebook. All I need to do is understand the simple flowchart. They will buy it easily. But once they have the flowchart in their hands, while they have the solution to their pain, think about all those other things that Brad can now sell them that will get them bigger, better, and faster results. in addition to the flow chart. What would you sell?
I would sell outsourcing. So that once they see the flow chart, now you have people who are trained. Let's say he has one for Squidoo lenses and how to be a squid master or whatever.
Yeah.
Which means I think you have to have at least 60 lenses or 80 lenses or some, you know, humongous number of lenses to even approach that. So to me, one thing that I would certainly do is have, and you can hire our team for X amount to just do this for you. You just fill out this form, give us the, you know, keywords, whatever it is. We'll write the articles, we'll do the lenses, we'll hook up the monetization. And if he did that, then it would be a total done for you where they would still bought the 97 product. And now they're probably in for several hundred a month for, you know, a year or whatever to get this stuff done.
Yeah. Beautiful. Done for you is an option. A more in-depth training program. Maybe some audios and videos that show you how to do each box of the flowchart. Another option. Coaching is another option. Seminars and workshops. Oh, how about this one? Tools that they need in order to implement the flowchart. Oh, tools with monthly membership fee. They could be paying for that for years to come. The reason that selling a flowchart for $97 is such a great idea is because of what that's going to do on the back end. Not
it's
on the front.
Yeah, and my example of the done for you, that was obviously just, you know, one example. There are probably 50 different things that could be done to monetize that. It doesn't mean you have to do them all, but you pick the ones that make sense.
Exactly.
And there could be three flow charts that go together for similar types of processes, you know, a traffic generation trio, which could have the Squidoo and a couple of other things in there. And so that leads to all kinds of different packaging and bundling. That would be a great workshop to do. It could be a weekend webinar all done online the way that that you and I tend to do things. I mean, lots of ways to do it. But it's all about getting people to use what they bought first and then come back for something more.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what you need to be figuring out for your business. And, you know, until you actually get out there and start having conversations with people, it really can be tricky to guess right. You simply have to get out there and do it. The minute you do, it's going to make it so much easier to figure out. It's no longer guessing. Now you're really using the conversations to guide what you offer and in what order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you find out where people trip up. You know, when I first started my entrepreneurial journey, and I have always loved writing and anything about books and authors. I mean, to me, that's just a great way to spend time is talking to authors. I love it. And I started my journey at working for somebody else's company as a contractor, an independent contractor. Well, the great thing, there was not some very not great things about that, but the great thing about it was I knew exactly what tripped people up, exactly where, and then I developed my own systems for how to fix it. So that when I got out on my own, that's what I used. And that's really
that's
it. I had all kinds of data from people, knowing where they tripped up, knowing where the problems are, knowing what things tended to be easier. It was really from working with people. I also learned what kind of people I do and didn't want to work with, and all kinds of other things came out of that. So, but one way or the other, definitely get data by asking people who have the issues that you're dealing with, people who are your audience, what their hang-ups are, what they want, what they feel is lacking.
You know, I want to relate this to something I've been doing in the last couple of days because I think it's very relevant here. August 22nd, I am getting started with the next Passion to Profits course. We've been talking about that for a little while since we finished up the World Speaker Summit. And I wanted to really get more people to see the opportunity to come into Passion to Profits. It's not a course that I run on a regular basis. It's something I'm planning on doing about once a year, and it's a now or never kind of thing. You cannot come into it in November or December. You can come into this 10-week course now, or you can wait till next year. Those are your options.
Right.
So I decided to go out and use Facebook. And what I decided to do was to set up Facebook event for Passion to Profits. If you go to askggg.com/P2P event. It's the letter P like Paul, the number 2, the letter P event, EVENT, askggg.com/P2P event. You'll see the Passion to Profits Facebook event. That event has a URL in it that will take you to a page that is very much a sales page, but at the same time, it has a replay of a 90-minute webinar that I did recently that's really kind of a taste of what you can expect from the course. That page is askggg.com/WSS replay, WSS replay. In the recording of the webinar, as well as in the body of the sales page, I give some examples of people that previously had come through Passion to Profits and the kinds of results that they got. And really, the whole topic of the webinar replay is how to build your online presence to explode your speaking business. The audience for it was speakers. But you can fill in the speaker's business with fill in the blank. Any kind of business is really appropriate. The examples in this case happen to be related to speakers because that's who I was talking to.
Right.
So I then go out and I invite 5,000 friends, 2,000 fans on Facebook. I get a couple of other people to invite their friends and fans on Facebook. So we get this event out in front of about 10,000 people quickly with this cool little tool I'll be talking about on the Bachelor's call today, Rhonda. It is awesome.
Oh, 34 seconds.
34 seconds for 7,000 invites. Unbelievable.
So that cuts off. That would take about, 7 hours to have been outsourced? So from 7 hours, an outsourcer, to 34 seconds, you can just do yourself, or you can outsource that if you want to outsource 34 seconds. But that's pretty remarkable.
It really is. And as I'm doing this event, I'm asking questions right on the event page on Facebook. So on the first day I put it up, the question I asked was, what would you like to learn if you attend Passion to Profits? Next day I asked, where are you at in your business right now? If you're coming to Passion to Profits, I'd love to make sure that I have the message for the right audience that's going to be there. So then I gave them some options. Are you just getting started? You don't even have a website. Are you already up and have a website, but you're really not getting any traffic and therefore not getting any sales? Do you have a website? Do you have some traffic, but not getting consistent sales? Or are you already making sales on a regular basis? Well, I now have 41 people that have said, yes, they're going, of which 37 have actually bought the course at either $397 or $47 for 10 weeks. I have 18 people saying maybe, and there's this humongous thread of comments back and forth from people who are either going or thinking about going. It's the conversation that is causing people to come in and buy this course. The conversions are happening because of the conversation. And just like in real life, if you just walk up to someone and say, hi, I'm Gina Gaudio Graves, and shake their hand, they'll probably say, hi, I'm so-and-so back. But there really isn't a conversation if that's all you say.
How
do you get conversations started? Conversations start with a question or a story.
Yeah, and the stories, the other thing I was going to mention is I think your questions are just brilliant. Having stories, having either quotes from previous P2P people like Devon Brown or somebody like that, or even people who attended and they had a result in their business, having those stories on the event page, whether they're in little stories or pictures with a quote on it, would be great. I think that's one of the best ways to do a success story on Facebook, like let's say a picture of Devon Brown and a quote that he said about Passion to Profits.
Yep. That would be a really good thing for me to do. I'm going to run this event from now until August 22nd. So I've got like 14 more days
that I will
be adding stuff in every single day. I'll either have a comment from somebody who was a part of it. And here's the thing. When I created the first Passion to Profits, 10 weeks worth of calls, I do something very specific at the end of every single call. What do I do, Rhonda?
You get instant testimonials.
How do I do that?
You call them takeaways. In other words, you ask people, and I sometimes call them aha moments or whatever, but what you ask is, what did you get out of this call? What are you taking away? So that means that you, on every call, are probably going to have somewhere between 3 and 10 people who say, this specific thing was great, and I want to implement X in my business right now, or something similar, right?
Yeah.
And they're going to not just be, wow, what a great call, but you encourage them if they say that. You say, what was so great? What helped you the most? So you have a built-in way at the end of each call to get testimonials. You took some of those little audio clips and get it as a link from Audio Acrobat. Those can be little short audios that you play if you wanted to do it that way. Or you could take a little quote and put it on somebody's picture and post that. Or turn some of those into a Passion to Profits video just with one slide about Passion to Profits and where to sign up.
How awesome is that? Instant testimonials.
That's right.
Of course, at the end of the 10-week course, the very last call, I asked, what did you take away from the whole 10-week course? Now I didn't just have that one call. I've got the whole thing in those instant testimonials.
Yeah.
It is an awesome way to sell the product.
Yeah.
If you can get paid to create the product, have people come into the live calls that you do to create the product, get them to leave their takeaways at the end of the live calls, and then take the instant testimonials apart from the call and use it to sell the product over and over and over again, you're going to get conversions. No questions asked, you're going to get conversions. And
because it's
each
story.
Each one of the people that left the takeaway can become a story in a blog post that then sells that product. All you have to do is tell what really happened. What did they say in their takeaway?
Exactly. And you can say on, Passion and Profits call number 3, we talked about blah, 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 and used so-and-so, and, you know, here's the story of whoever the focus person is for that and what was happening in that lesson. And then you can share various stories of the people who had a takeaway from that module 3, and you have those stories. So you could easily get several blog posts. Chances are good that you had at least 50 instant testimonials, probably more, but just to be conservative, from those 10 calls that you can then use to help sell the other program. You can put the audio clips with the picture on the sales page. You know, you can make videos, all kinds of things that will get those testimonial stories out. Those are success stories.
And if you're going to have your blog post, you don't want that sidebar to have all this unrelated garbage in it. But you could absolutely take some of those testimonials from people leaving you takeaways and put those in the sidebar. If you've got a single category on your blog and that category relates to product number one, and product number one, you have 5 or 6 takeaways from creating it that are essentially testimonials, what you put on that page is the promotional item, like a banner ad for the product that's in the article, then below that, a few other articles related to the same topic, not just all the recent articles on your site, and below that, some of your testimonials. and you will absolutely start getting conversions where doing blogging the way that most people do blogging, you probably wouldn't have gotten any.
Right.
It's a very small little difference, but man, the result is totally different.
Yeah, customized sidebar. Did you ever do, and here's why this is important. I'll give a quick example. Haven't you ever done a Google search for a particular phrase, and you go and you see it's on some blog or some site, and you go click on that link, and whatever that was, maybe it was in the sidebar, the phrase, but the actual main article was something completely different. That causes a high bounce back, and it's really frustrating to go, man, I was looking for itchy feet. How did I end up with the thing for lawnmowers?
Drives me crazy.
Oh, cannot stand that. It just irritates me so much.
It really does. Or maybe the phrase you searched for happened to be in a comment and the article had nothing at all to do with the comment.
Right.
Why is that a good thing? Why can't Google find a way to get rid of those?
That I would, but most of the time it's because there's just too much, because maybe a recent article that was unrelated that had the itchy feet was on the same page with whatever you were looking for. And
yep.
So it comes up. It's so annoying. And, yes, it does cause bounce backs. And Google is really doing all kinds of things to create a coherent, cohesive message for the searcher, which is what the searcher wants.
Yeah. And you need to be part of the solution for Google, not part of the problem. If you are that one site that really has everything cohesive, everything is totally related to the topic that people are searching for, you're going to outrank your competition. There's no way that you won't, because everything is relative.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's so important. So make sure you're cohesive, coherent with everything, including the stories, including the ideal customer served by that, and really digging into what is the pain and how are you bringing about a solution. And that is what improves conversions for people.
And you know, one thing we should mention, Rhonda, in a normal WordPress blog, when you go to do things in your widgets, you have widgets show up in the sidebar on every single piece of content on your site. You can't change the widgets for different pieces of content. How do you fix that? Easy fix. There is a plugin. It is called My Instant Widget. It is part of the Blogging Toolbox suite of plugins. It is located at askggg.com/blogging toolbox. askggg.com/blogging toolbox. It allows you to have different widgets for different things. You could have a set of widgets for each category. You could have a set of widgets for just content that has a certain tag. You could have a set of widgets that just go along with a certain keyword that's mentioned in a piece of content. You can change your widgets for each piece of content if you so choose. That is the key to improving conversion. You're really not interested in getting traffic. All you really care about is conversions. If you can get 100% of your visitors to buy, that's the ultimate goal. What a great call today. Thank you, Rhonda.
Absolutely. And next week, we have Linda Feinholz, and we'll be digging into storytelling quite a bit with her. So that's going to be a great...
I can't wait. Yep. She wants our help in crafting the ideal story of her. You know what I call the story of you. I am looking forward to that call. Thank you for making that happen, Rhonda. I thought that would be a good show.
Absolutely. That's going to be great. Thanks to everybody, and we wish you great conversions this week.
We will see you back here, same time, same place. Thanks, Rhonda.
Come back next week for Relationship Marketing 101. Join us at Directions University, www.directionsu.com, for passion, power, results.